Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the first quarter 2016 JinkoSolar conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 27th of May, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host for today, Mr. Sebastian Liu. Please go ahead, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2016 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. General Miao, VP Global Sales and Marketing. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company's highlights, followed by Mr. General Miao, who will talk about sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢，各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
我很高兴地宣布，公司一季度业绩表现强劲。随着全球，尤其是新兴市场需求的持续增长，本季度公司组件总出货量达到 1.6吉瓦，第一季度总收入达到 8.478亿美元，较去年同期增长了 98.9%。第一季度实现净利润 4860万美元。
I'm happy to announce a strong performance of this quarter. Total module shipment during the quarter reached 1.6 gigawatt. As global demand continues to grow, particularly in a number of emerging markets, revenues during the first quarter reached $847.8 million, representing an increase of 98.9% over the same period of last year. GAAP net income and non-GAAP net income for the quarter reached $48.6 million and $54.3 million, respectively.
今年六月是公司成立十周年之际，我对公司逐步成长为全球领先的太阳能企业所取得成绩感到骄傲。十年间，公司太阳能组件总出货量达13吉瓦。 在70多个国家地区拥有超过1700个客户，公司开发运营超过1个吉瓦的太阳能电桩项目，公司从创立之初的默默无闻，不断努力进取，已成长为全球知名的品牌。在第一季度，公司成为同业中最大的组件供应商。我们将持续稳健经营，为投资者带来长期回报。
This June marks our 10-year anniversary, and I'm proud of what we have achieved throughout the years in becoming a global leader of the solar industry. In 10 years, we have shipped about 13 gigawatts of solar modules to more than 1,700 customers from 17 countries and regions. We develop and operate over 1 gigawatt of solar projects. We began our journey from a humble beginning, and sustainably build our way into a global recognized brand. In Q1, we became the biggest module supplier among our peers. We will continue to grow our business in a sustainable, and conservative way and generate long-term returns for our investors.
所以六月底补贴削减前，大批订单的涌入，我们在中国市场的领先地位得到进一步巩固。我们预计下一季度这种趋势将得到延续。在美国，我们将持续扩大市场份额。 虽然由于ITC 延迟导致今年部分项目推迟，我们对完成美国今年的出货年度目标仍十分有信心，特别是新增海外产能的快速攀升，也将为我们带来更多的灵活性，并提高利润率。公司品牌知名度的提升也为我们带来了更多新兴市场的机遇，例如智利、泰国和印度等市场。稍后，杰恩会详细介绍。
Our position as a market leader in China was solidified as large orders continue to come in before the fifth car due at the end of June. We expect the trend will continue next quarter. In the U.S., we continue to grow market share. Although the extension of ITC has resulted in some of the projects being postponed, we are very confident to meet our shipment target in the U.S. for the year. Our new added overseas production capacity is ramping up very fast, which will give us more flexibility and generate larger margins. The increasing recognition of our brand name is also generating great opportunities in exciting emerging markets such as Chile, Thailand, and India, which Jenna will go over details later.
本年度发电量达2.1亿度，环比增长36.4%，发电收入达1.855亿人民币。 发电量依然受到西部限电和本季度春节假期的影响，但更多电站，特别是东部电站发电量的逐步攀升，部分弥补了发电损失。我们预计，由于限电情况好转，以及公司越来越多的项目进入满发状态，下个季度发电量将大幅度提升。由于公司大部分在建项目在中国东部地区，审批和并网流程较长。 本季度没有新项目并网，已并网项目仍保持1007兆瓦。我们预计，12季度补贴削减前会有大量项目并网。公司今年制定的项目开发目标没有变化，管理层仍持续努力推动分拆进程，并将在合适时机向市场更新相关进展。
Electricity output during the quarter reached 210 GWh. Up 36.4% sequentially, and generated 185.5 million RMB in revenue. Power output was still impacted by curtailment in China Western regions and Chinese New Year holiday. But the shortfall was partially offset by wrapping up of our project, especially in China Eastern regions. We expect power output to improve substantially next quarter as curtailment impact decreases and more projects ramp up to full capacity. Our total capacity of connected projects remains at 1,007 megawatts, as no new connections were made during the quarter, because most of our projects under construction are located in China Eastern regions, where approval and connection process require longer periods of time. We expect a number of projects to be connected next quarter before the fifth card, and we remain on track to hit our development guidance of this year. The management continue to work on the spin-off process and will update the market when appropriate.
随着太阳能发电成本降低，全球需求持续增长。尽管投资者对三 Edison事件以及连锁效应，以及对下半年潜在的产能过剩有所担忧，我们依然对行业前景以及公司未来的出色业绩表示充满信心。
Global solar demand continued to grow as costs go down. We have been hearing investors express concerns over some Edison case and ripple effect, and potential oversupply during the second half of the year. Despite these concerns, we have always been confident in the industry's future and our ability to stay high performance in the second half of the year and going forward.
技术方面，我很高兴看到公司1500伏。 一个光伏组件已能够立刻投入到北美市场中，我确信这将进一步帮助公司拓展市场份额。我们正致力于量产下一代高效硅片和电子片，这将进一步提升公司太阳能产品的效率和稳定性。质量控制方面， 我们始终保持行业内最高的质量标准，以确保公司的客户获得可靠的产品和投资收益。
On the technology front, I'm pleased to say our 1500-volt Eagle module immediately became available for sale in North America, where I'm sure that they will help us further increase market share there. We are also working on the mass production of our next generation of high-efficiency wafers and cells, which will again increase output and stability of our solar products. In terms of the quality control, we have always maintained the highest quality standards in the industry to ensure that our customers receive reliable products and investment returns. The spot price for polysilicon has begun to rise following years of a decreased price. While this would typically impact our cost structure to some extent, we pre-ordered and built up some stockpiles before the price jump, which will mitigate the impact. We expect to say in the second half of the year the poly price will stabilize. It will be, after all, driven by the price of solar products.
本季度，公司在墨西哥首个产品电力招标中赢得了三个大型光伏太阳能项目，这是独立于公司海外组件销售的业务，标志了公司正式进军海外项目开发。本次成功也充分证明了公司的品牌知名度、技术实力和在海外市场的融资能力。管理层一直密切关注海外项目的发展机遇，尤其是新兴市场如拉丁美洲、亚洲、一带一路沿线国家、撒哈拉以南、非洲地区等，当然也包括成熟市场的机遇。我们希望与合作伙伴共赢，并对这些机遇保持开放和灵活的态度。
During the quarter, we were awarded three solar PV projects totaling 188 megawatt AC in Mexico during the nation's first tender auction. This is a separate business from our overseas module sales and marks our expansion into overseas project development. This also demonstrates our brand name recognition, technological strengths, and financial capabilities in overseas markets. Management closely follows the overseas project opportunities, especially in emerging markets such as Latin America, Asian countries along the Belt and Road, and Sub-Saharan Africa countries, as well as opportunities in mature markets. We would also like to work and cooperate with our partners and stay open and flexible to those opportunities.
我一直对太阳能行业的长期发展以及公司未来的成长充满信心。公司一季度的强劲开端令人欣慰。
I'm always confident in the long-term growth of solar industry and Jinko Solar's growth prospects, and I'm pleased to see such a strong start to year for us.
话题交给 Janet 之前，我来介绍一下2016年第二季度和全年业绩指导。2016年第二季度，公司组件出货量预计在 1.6G瓦 到 1.7G瓦 之间，其中包括向第三方组件出货 1.45G瓦 到 1.6G瓦。2016年全年业绩指导不变，预计太阳能组件总出货量在6G瓦到 6.5G瓦 之间，其中包括向第三方组件出货 5.4G瓦 到 5.7G瓦。公司预计在2016年新增电网项目600兆瓦到800兆瓦。
Before turning to the call to Jenner, I will quickly go over the guidance for the second quarter and full year 2016. In the second quarter, the company estimates total solar module shipment to be in the range of 1.6 to 1.7 gigawatts, which include 1.45 to 1.6 gigawatts module shipment to the third parties. For the full year 2016, the guidance stayed the same. The company expects the total module shipment to be in the range of 6 to 6.5 gigawatts, which includes 5.4 to 5.7 gigawatts shipment to the third parties. The company expects to connect solar power project with new capacity of 600 to 800 megawatts in 2016.
谢谢 Sawson。接下来，现在我将话题交给 Jenna。
Thank you, Sebastian. With that, I'll turn the call to Jenny.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. I'm happy to report another great quarter of sales results in which we shipped a total of 1.6 gigawatt of solar modules, making us the largest solar module supplier among our peers. With such a strong growth momentum to start the year, we are optimistic about our prospects for the next quarter and the rest of the year. During this quarter, we continue to balance our geographic distribution in 45 countries and regions. We shipped 1,434 megawatt of solar modules to the third parties, during which 37% went to China, 30% to North America, 7% to Asia Pacific, 7% to Europe, and 18% to emerging markets. We have devoted efforts to strengthen our relationship with our global partners and meanwhile focus on increasing payment terms and receivables management. I will now take a closer look at each of these important markets and provide a little bit more color. China continues to be our largest market, while the Q1 is typically a slow quarter due to Chinese New Year. We still received a large number of orders, and the momentum will continue at least until end of June cut in fit. While demand may slide after that, we expect it could pick up in the fourth quarter, especially towards year end. We may see some price fluctuation, but in general it should stabilize. China market will remain the world's largest market this year, and we are optimistic for this year's final results. The U.S. market will be our big growth driver this year, and we are devoting much of our time and resources there proportionally. The extension of ITC has resulted in some of the projects this year to be postponed, which will make the ASPs drop slightly. But it will not impact our sales target in the U.S. for this year, and we believe it will be a long-term positive for the U.S. market. For the market sentiment, we believe demand for utility-scale projects will remain high throughout the year and well into 2017. The residential and commercial solar installation market continues to grow steadily, which will also create a more balanced market for the solar product going forward. With our new capacity ramping up very fast in Malaysia production facility, a big portion of our shipments to the U.S. will be coming from our overseas production facility in the second half of the year, which will generate better profit and flexibility. In European markets, we are still standing under MIP framework. Demand in Europe is slowing down. The UK continues to be one of the region's most promising markets, and one in which we are very active. Turkey also continues to show promise as its solar market gains momentum. In the Asia Pacific region, shipments to Japan remain steady. In India, we are seeing active bidding on several big projects that are being formulated following the steady stream of supportive policy issued by the government. Thailand is also showing great future potential as its market grows in size and scale. We have already begun planning to redirect our resources towards these key markets once the opportunities come online. In emerging markets, we have forged a strong relationship with local governments and strong partners in Middle East and Africa, which we expect will help us to grow in this region and further balance our geographic mix in a sustainable way. We performed especially well in Latin America this quarter, where our brand names has helped us to secure the largest market share in a number of key countries. We ranked the number one in Chile in terms of market share, where accounted for approximately 70% of our total shipment numbers this quarter. Globally, our ASP remained stable during a traditionally slow quarter in most regions, and we expect the ASPs in the second quarter to further stabilize with a slight decline. In this quarter, our ASPs came in at $0.55, down 1 cent from the fourth quarter. Moving to marketing and branding, we participated in a number of events, exhibitions, and conferences during this quarter, In January, we attended World Future Energy Summit in Abu Dhabi, and in March, we attended Power and Electricity World Africa in Johannesburg, which are the most important trade shows in the Middle East and Africa region. During the PV Expo in Japan in March, we launched the Eagle Black, Black Silicon module, and the Eagle Dual, Dual Glass module, along with interviews on several local well-known media. Through these events, we further strengthened our leading position in brand value and recognition worldwide. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, who will go over to our financial results of the first quarter of year 2016.
Thank you, General. I'd like to walk you through our financial results for the first quarter of 2016. Total solar module shipments were 1.6 gigawatts, up 103% year over year. The shipments exceeded the high end of first quarter guidance. By the end of Q1, we had 1,007 megawatts solar power projects in operation. Total revenue was $848 million, up 99% year over year. Revenue generated from solar power projects was $29 million, up 36% sequentially and up 82% year over year. Gross margin was 21.3% compared to 19.5% in Q4 2015 and 20.3% in Q1 2015. The increase was due to the lower module manufacturing costs and the higher gross margins associated with electricity revenue. ASP was 55 cents per watt compared to 56 cents in Q4. We continued to cut our in-house manufacturing costs to 37 cents per watt from 39 cents in Q4. The blended cost, excluding the U.S. tariff cost, was 41 cents per watt compared to 42 cents in Q4. Our operating expenses represented 10.8% of total revenues compared to 11.8% in Q4 2013 and 11.9% in Q1 2013. Operating margin was 10.5% compared to 7.7% in Q4 2013 and 8.4% in Q1 2015. Net interest expense was $20 million, up 30% sequentially and up 101% year over year. The increase was due to the increase of loans used for solar power projects. By the end of Q1, we had two outstanding convertible bonds. After the repurchase, the first one was $47 million due in May 2016, and the second one was $137 million due in 2019 with put options in February 2017. In May, the convertible bonds of $47 million for the first one were fully repaid. EBITDA was $125 million compared to $119 million in Q4 2015 and $56 million in Q1 2015. EBITDA related to solar power projects was $15 million compared to $9 million in Q4 2015 and $12 million in Q1 2015. Net income was $49 million. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.56 and $1.44 respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $64 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $2.04 and $1.72 respectively. Now, let's move to the balance sheet. At the end of Q1, cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $523 million compared to $654 million at the end of Q4. Our accounts receivable was $611 million compared to $528 million at the end of Q4. Inventories were $482 million compared to $495 million at the end of Q4. The total debts were $1.61 billion compared to $1.59 billion at the end of Q4. The debts related to solar power projects were $865 million compared to $760 million at the end of Q4. Total CapEx plan for our module business in 2016 is expected to be in the range of $150 million to $200 million. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Operator.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star followed by the number 2. So it's star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We'll now take our first question from Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. This is Justin Clare. I'm on for Phil today. So first off, I just wanted to ask about the mix in China for Q2. What is your expectation there? And then could you tell us what percent of your Q3 bookings are for the China market?
So hey, this is Jenner. Thanks for the question. For approximately the first half, the China and the U.S. will take approximately 30 to 35% for each for the first half of shipment numbers expected. And for this Q3, since we are pretty fully booked for the first half, so we are expecting lots of orders for goes to Q3. So we are expecting around 20 to 25% of our shipment are coming from China during Q3.
Great, thanks. And then wondering about pricing for Q2, can you give us a sense for what the ASP might be? And then based on your bookings for Q3, what kind of sequential pricing decline could we see?
So you mean China or you mean globally?
Maybe for China and globally, if you could talk about both.
Yeah, so as we have talked about is for this Q1, our ASP is $55. So we're expecting a similar level price, maybe a little bit lower for in Q2, but relatively it could be stable. And for the China, we are expecting the similar situation and for the global ASP as well, that in Q1, our China ASP is around $50, and we are expecting the price will be stable, may slightly decrease, but in general, it could be stable for the first half.
Okay. And then one more for me. So you had reiterated your downstream development guidance, 600 to 800 megawatts for the year. So we've heard that the Chinese government may be considering an extension in the feed-in tariff to the end of August instead of the end of June. Could you help us understand, you know, how likely this is and how this could impact either your downstream plans or the market in China?
Mm-hmm. I heard the news today, but you know, it's not confirmed with relevant authorities. And for our downstream project guidance, 600 megawatts, 800 megawatts, we are very confident and we are on the track to achieve the goal. And by the end of the first quarter, we had around 600 megawatts projects under construction, and we target to connect 400 megawatts to 500 megawatts before the June 2016. So I think, you know, even if the deadline is delayed to August, there's no significant impact for our construction plan.
Okay, great, thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Patrick Jobin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, this is Mahip on behalf of Patrick, and congratulations on the quarter. Just to follow up on the previous questions, are you seeing any signs on NEA's next subsidy approval list, assuming the current one comes out in Q3? When do you expect the next one to come out, and how many megawatts do you have that?
I think no substantial updates for the catalog approval, but we believe it's on the track for the approval process. The government completed the preliminary review for the six renewable catalog and requested more documents for some projects in China. And for Jinko, all the projects we submitted to the government has passed the preliminary review. Our expectations, we will get the cash payment in the second half year.
Got that. And just on curtailment, you said it was high in this quarter as well. Could you just tell us how much it was and what gives you more confidence that it would decline in the next quarter?
In the first quarter, for the rest of the regions, including the Xinjiang and Gansu province, and it's improved in the second quarter, particularly in Xinjiang province, and strong visibility, for the second quarter, it's been reduced and improved in the second quarter. I think in Xinjiang province, the curtailment is due to the winter season. Local grid want to use a coal plant to generate the heating, and for the people living in that area. So we are very confident. For the second quarter, we expect significant jump for the electricity revenues. It's going to be around, I think, 40% to 50% revenue jump for electricity revenues. I think the recent policies are very positive. NDRC issued the regulation, the guaranteed purchase minimum for energy to protect renewable returns, and the NDRC has stopped for the approval of new projects in curtailed areas. And for Jinko, the impact of curtailment is becoming smaller. All the projects we are developing in 2016 is in the East and South China, and our exposure to the projects in the West regions will drop to below 30% in the middle of this year.
Thanks, that's helpful, Karan. Last question from me. The guidance kind of implies a decline in shipments in the second half. Can you help us understand whether this is primarily from the decline in shipments to Chinese markets, or are you seeing any demand deceleration in other markets? Thanks for taking the question.
Firstly, I just want to say, we have more and more visibilities for the second half year, and now around 50% capacity was blocked. And for the guidance of 2016, I think we may update the guidance in the second quarter, and if you look at our second half year, I think in the first half year we total shipped around 50% total shipment, and based on the current guidance, right? And for the second half year, it's based on the progress, and we may update in the second quarter.
Yeah, so this is Jenna. So in general, we are keeping our confidence for the whole year's demand for the sales side. However, the Jinko is always, let's say, conservative and more responsible for the guidance we release. So we prefer to update it when we have more, let's say, confidence and visibilities.
Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you, Mahip.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Sheng Zhong from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking my question, and congratulations on the strong result. My first question is about if we expand our module capacity significantly in the first quarter. So wondering, is there any capacity expansion in our Malaysia plant?
You mean the capacity expansion in Malaysia, right?
Yes, capacity in Malaysia. It
Yes. I think we give the guidance of capacity expansion. Wafer is around 500 megawatts. Cell is 1 gigawatt, and module is 2 gigawatts. And for the cell capacity expansion, the major, the majority of capacity expansion for cell is going to be in overseas factories. And for the module capacity, around 50% is in the overseas factories. And for the overseas factory expansion, it's still on track, and it's in final trial production level, and we plan to complete the capacity expansion in the middle of this year.
Yeah, the capacity in Malaysia will ramp up in full capacity, I think, since second half.
Mm. And for the total 2016, we plan to ship around 1 gigawatt. To the U.S. markets from the overseas factories.
So this is Sebastian. So that means in the second half of the year, a big portion of our shipments to U.S. will be coming from our Malaysia factory. That will help increase our margins.
So first half of the year, it's around 30% to 35%, and the second half of the year, it's around 65%.
So you mean, can I clarify the first half, the overseas?
Yeah, I'm saying, in terms of the 1 gigawatt shipments, around 35% is going to, first half year. The remaining part is in the second half year. So Sebastian is saying, we expect, more and more shipments to the U.S. market from the overseas factories in the second half year.
Okay, understand. So among over 400 megawatt shipment to U.S. in the first quarter, how much shipment is from the Malaysia plant?
It's around 150 megawatts.
Thank you. And my second question is, you mentioned that the reason why we don't have a project connection in first quarter is because of the longer connection period in the East China. So normally, how long is the project connection period?
It's depending, the projects case by case. And, in the East and South China, the key hurdle is land acquisition. So it's taken us more time to acquire the land for some projects. So, but most of the projects are in the final stage now. And so we are confident and we can achieve our targets for the second quarter.
Another one is about your operating cash flow. Why it's negative in the first quarter?
Operating cash flow is, I think it's around negative $15 million. The major reason is, we have more shipments in China, and China, the payment term is relatively slower than the payment terms in the second half year or last year. But it's back to the standard payment terms, and you can see that we have the increased accounts receivable, and we expect we will generate positive operating cash flows in the second quarter.
Is it because our shipment to non-China region will improve, or do you expect China's payment term will be better?
No, the shipments should be, I think, more balanced. And if you look at the Q4 and Q1 shipments, we have a very big exposures in China. And, we are seeing the payment terms in China is also relatively improving quarter over quarter.
I see. And my last question is about the technology. Ms. Chen mentioned that we will have next generation wafer and cell technology. Can you give more color on this?
Sure. So this is Sebastian. In fact, you know, we are working on our version of wafer thin cells, which especially with higher efficiency and stability. But we cannot disclose too much details about, you know, the features and other numbers of those technology. But, you know, we will, you know, I think, review them with our, especially integrate those technology into our module products, and you will see when we review our new series of module products.
Because we actually we expand our capacity significantly already. So will the new technology require? I mean, if the new technology can be well integrated to our capacity.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
Okay. Thanks very much, and congratulations on the 10 years anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. We'll now take our next question from Taylor Frank from Braid. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the question. It's Tyler Frank from Baird. Can you discuss what you're seeing overall in the U.S. marketplace for utility-scale project demand? Do you believe that demand will increase throughout the year, and how do you see 2017 shaping up?
Hi, this is Chen. Good question. Actually, for the market demand side, it really depends on which number you are compared with, right? If you compare with the market demand expected number before ITC extension, for sure the demand this year of U.S. demand will, utility size demand has decreased quite a little bit. But if you compare with long term, let's see, between 2016 to 2019, even to 2020, the average annual demand or total demand, the 5-year demand from U.S. has increased significantly compared to what is expected before ITC extension. So from our point of view, we have built up pretty mature partnership with our local U.S. customers. And though we see some of the projects have been delayed to late 2016, even 2017, but generally speaking, we feel happy that the market will be more sustainable in U.S. And we believe the demand locally are still very strong from U.S. So we are confident to reach our target, shipment target to U.S. and in long run, and we are more optimistic for the U.S. utility scale project.
Great, thank you. And then, can you comment a little bit about the feed-in tariffs in China? Are fifth payment still being delayed, or is that on a location-specific basis at this point? And do you expect any headwinds with fifth payment tariffs to be resolved in the near term? Thank you.
No, no. The feed-in tariff is a national issue, and it's a key agenda for the government to resolve. As I said, we believe the approval process for the next round and subsidy catalog is on track, and we can get to the cash payments in the second half year.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Sebastian Liu, please continue.
Thank you, operator. On behalf of the entire JinkoSource management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and good evening. Thank you and goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.